Hey everybody, it's Danny. I want to say thank you for tuning in to the Heartway podcast, and I want to give a special thanks to those of you who are tuning in from really all over the world. We're so grateful that you are a part of our community and that you listen in on an ongoing basis. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard, I want to ask you to share this with a friend. You never know the impact that one of these messages can have in another person's life. And if you yourself have been impacted and you'd like to continue to partner with us to keep this work going, check us out at heartwaychurch.com/give. Every dollar that you give goes a really long way towards helping us do what it is that we do. Well, we love you. Really hope you enjoy the podcast.
Hello, everyone, and happy Sunday. I am so grateful to be here with you all today to lead you into centering prayer. Today, I truly want us to focus in on just letting go and releasing everything that we're holding on to. So the things that we attach to, the timelines that we have in our mind when things are supposed to get done, I want us to just let all of that go. And I want you to instead surrender everything to God. Trust that God is here for you, working for you, but you must allow divine time to happen so that you can see all the miracles come into fruition. My beautiful friends, let's get started. Have a nice, comfortable seated position, bringing the palms either facing up or down, whatever works best for you. Now let's have a nice, tall spine. Allow the eyes to close. Allow the chin to slightly come down. And as we surrender deep within, as we let go of that which does not serve us, I ask you to bring your awareness to your breath. Slowly taking a deep inhale, we fill up the belly. You allow that breath to rise up as you allow the shoulders to go back. And then vocally, exhale, release. Again, slowly fill up your breath. Allow the breath to rise up, shoulders go back. And then vocally, friends, release all the thoughts that are going in and out of the mind. Remove the attachments that you have. Remove any expectations that you have. Release all of this now and allow the shoulders to come down just a little bit more. As you release all the power, all the control, we release it now into God's hands. And instead, we fill ourselves up with peace of mind. We fill ourselves up with His love. We welcome His presence, His energy deep within ourselves. And we let go of the fears. We let go of the doubts. We release it all into God's hands. And now we hold on to our faith. We come back to our faith. Our strength in knowing that even when we cannot see that God is there, we know that He is always working in our favor and working for the highest good. Settle down on this peace. Settle down on this knowing that you are always protected, that God is always with you, that you are always loved. My friends, take another deep inhale. This time I want you to watch the breath. deep within yourselves. Allow that belly to rise. Allow the shoulders to go back. Notice if the breath gets caught anywhere. And then vocally exhale. Allow the shoulders to come down. Remember that every time that you inhale, you create space deep within yourself. And as you exhale, let it go. You allow yourself to go deeper within this space. You allow yourself to connect deeper with God. Because now we remove ourselves from the mind. We remove ourselves from our attachments. We remove ourselves from our beliefs. And instead, we connect back to our soul. We connect back to our breath. We connect back to our faith, to our connection with God. Allow yourself to surrender a little bit more. Allow yourself to feel God's presence. Welcome His wisdom. Welcome His loving energy. Welcome His grace and welcome His peace. Allow yourself to feel light. Allow yourself to remove anything that is weighing on your shoulders, that is weighing heavy on your heart. Release it all now, my friend. As we take another deep inhale, slowly inhaling in through the nose. Breathe in a little bit more. I want you to hold your breath, and any tension that you're holding on to, when we exhale, decide now to let it all go. Exhale, release. My friends, take another moment to truly feel this peace that is settling on you. Feel this connection with yourself. Feel this connection with your soul, connecting with God, communing with God. Allow for once the mind to shut down, and instead we speak with God with our hearts. My friends, take another deep inhale, filling up the belly. You allow the breath to rise, shoulders back. And when you're ready to let it all go, exhale, allow the shoulders to come down. Bring a smile to the face. And when you're ready, my friends, gently invite the eyes to open up, bringing your hands to your heart center, palms together. My friends, may peace, grace, and love always be with you. Amen. And so much love to all of you. Happy Sunday.
Good morning, Heartway family. Thank you for joining us for another week of Heartway at Home. I want to speak specifically today to those of you who are overwhelmed by the chaos that we all are currently experiencing and becoming more and more aware of in our world. If you're anything like me, it's easy in times like this to get to the point where you just feel like you're drowning in a sea of sorrows because everything sometimes seems to be such a mess. And when you think things are as worse as they can get, sometimes they get even worse than that. And of course, social media exasperates the issue, because when we go online and we go to see what our friends and family members are saying about different social events and issues, we see a lot of arguing and we see a lot of anger and we see a lot of division. Some of us are even losing family and friends over some of these hot topic issues that are of a concern to us today. What's interesting to me is that the scriptures teach that there is a way to overcome the world. So the question for us today is, how do we move from being overwhelmed by the world to overcoming the world? Well, there's a passage of scripture in the book of Ecclesiastes that I was reading earlier this week, and it really impacted me because it spoke to the condition of society right now. This is what it says in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5. If you see the oppression of the poor and the denial of justice and righteousness in the province, do not be shocked at the sight of corruption. For a higher official watches over another official, and there are higher ones over them looking out for one another. In the Message translation, it says, exploitation filters down from one petty official to another. There is no end to it, and nothing can be done about it. In other words, don't be shocked. Don't be surprised by the chaos that you see in our world. First and foremost, because human beings have been this way since the very beginning of human history. The love of money, the love of power, the love of affluence, the love of prestige, all of these things have caused human beings to commit the most horrendous of evils. And we continue to trample over others and take advantage of others to do all that we can to try and maintain our status and our power and our money and our affluence. Secondly, we shouldn't be surprised by what we see, because it's probably worse than we think it is. If you see the world right now and you think to yourself, how could it be this bad? You're probably in for a surprise, because the more that's uncovered and the more that you see, the worse things will probably become to you, and darker of a place your mind will arrive to. See, the scriptures teach that there's nothing new under the sun. History is cyclical. It repeats itself. What has been done before will be done again. Racism is not new. The abuse of power is not new. Oppression is not new. Corruption is not new. And sometimes it's actually religion and politics that are used to enforce these kind of agendas in the world. This is why I like to read the Jesus story in its historical context, because Jesus was put to death by the religious and political authorities of his day. Think about that for a second. Jesus was accused of treason and of blasphemy. Treason because he had a radical social vision for this world that saw the image of God in every human being, that saw every person as a child of God, a social vision that was based on principles of equality and no discrimination, unconditional love, where everybody is included. And Jesus was accused of blasphemy because he operated with an authority that did not come from the religious establishment of his day. Jesus would forgive people's sins without the religious establishment's approval. Jesus would heal people or do work with his disciples on the Sabbath when the religious establishment said that that was unlawful. But Jesus did those things because he prioritized love over law. These were the things that got Jesus crucified, because he did not fit within the box of the political and religious leaders of his day. So think about that. The very people who are supposed to represent God, the religious people, and the very people who are supposed to be on the side of every single one of us, the people who are supposed to take care of the well-being of society, the politicians, these are the very people who crucified Jesus, who really had just a very simple message of love and inclusion. And it was for that reason that he was put to death. See, oftentimes religion and politics, even though they can be forces for good in this world, and I really believe that. That's why we do what we do. That's why I'm a Christian. That's why I get involved in political conversations. But even though religion can be used as a force for good, oftentimes religion has been co-opted by those who want to enforce authoritarianism. And I may be wrong in my assessment, but it does seem like most groups, regardless of where they are on the spectrum of conservative to progressive, most groups seem to be authoritarian in their agenda. And then to make matters even more difficult and confusing for us, those other people on the other side who we think are just illogical, who we think are doing harm in the world by espousing the views that they're espousing, these people believe that they're doing what they're doing with a good cause and with good reason. They believe that they are right. And so we are blinded to, so many of us are blinded to the injustices that continue to be done in the name of justice, the evil that we continue to perpetrate in the name of good. And so, of course, sometimes we're going to seem, it's going to seem like things are out of whack. And of course, there are going to be times where we're going to feel overwhelmed by what we see in the world because there's so much corruption in the world. Even religion has been corrupted. Even politics are corrupted. And so where does that leave us? There's a philosopher by the name of Blaise Pascal who said these very interesting words. Men never do evil so completely and cheerfully as when they do it from religious conviction. Men never do evil so completely and cheerfully as when they do it from religious conviction. The Proverbs say that every person seems right in their own eyes, but the Lord examines the heart. Of course, everybody thinks they're right in their own eyes. And what do we do to others? How do we treat others in the name of our rightness? That's something that all of us have to consider for ourselves. What matters ultimately and what's very telling is our underlying motives behind the things that we say. And so, again, where does that leave us? I believe that the only way we can be agents of transformation in this world is first and foremost by accepting the reality of the world as it is, which is very difficult for some of us to do, but it's an important first step, accepting the reality of the world as it is, and then surrendering the world with all of the evil we see in it into the hands of God. Mind you, this doesn't mean now that we give in to the status quo, but what it does mean is that through this act of acceptance and surrender, our internal well-being is no longer attached to the events and circumstances that are going on around us. There's always going to be people who abuse their power. There's always going to be corruption in our world because the issue ultimately comes down to the heart of individuals. Our hearts have been hardened as human beings, which is why we do the things that we do in this world. As long as people's hearts are hardened, as long as our eyes are blinded, as long as our desires master us and we want more and we're very self-conscious and we have an image to protect and we're trying to climb higher and have more power, we're going to see the things that we're seeing and that we've been seeing for a really long time. We can't change people's hearts, but we can ask God to change ours. And when we take that initial step, when we open up our hearts to God and ask God to shift us, to give us new eyes to see, to give us ears to hear, that's when things begin to change. See, Jesus said, I have come into this world and I have taught you the things that I have taught you so that you can have peace. And then Jesus went on to say in the Gospel of John, in this world, you will have trouble, you will have tribulation, but you can be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. And that is the beauty and the power of the gospel, that you and I can also overcome the world with him when we entrust the world into the hands of God. Again, does this mean passivity? Does this mean inactivity? Absolutely not. We do need to work to bring about change in our society, especially at a legislative level. These conversations are very important. It was Martin Luther King Jr. who said, "The law may not be able to change hearts, but the law can restrain the heartless." And so we definitely need to work for the common good. We definitely need to be a part of these conversations. We can't simply opt out as followers of Jesus. However, we don't have to wait for the world to change in order for our hearts to be at peace. We can be at peace now through surrender. We can be at peace now by entrusting ourselves to God and entrusting the world to God as well. When we begin to experience internal peace, we become peacemakers in this world. Naturally, that just begins to flow out of us. It begins in here and then it extends out there. I love how in the gospel accounts, there are all these stories about Jesus calming the winds and the waves, or Jesus and the disciples being in the middle of a storm. And when the disciples go to look for Jesus on this boat that they're on, they find him sleeping with his head on a cushion. What is that a beautiful picture and symbol of? The peace that the scriptures say surpasses all understanding. A peace that doesn't make sense. A peace that you can carry with you even when the storm is raging all around you. Are those just words, or is that actually a possibility for those of us who have entrusted our lives over into the hands of God? There's one Christian minister who once said, "The sovereignty of God is the pillow on which the Christian rests their head." How is it that we too can be in such a state of peace when the world around us is in such a state of chaos? The sovereignty of God is the pillow on which the Christian rests their head. To say that God is sovereign is to say that God is in control. What that looks like practically, I have no idea. It's a mystery. But in the midst of even the worst of evils, in the midst of the most difficult of times, the greatest act of faith that I can take on is to say, "God, I don't understand how you are involved in this and how your hand is at work in this, but I'm going to trust that it is." As soon as that becomes your reality, peace floods into your soul. And it comes because you are now established in this knowing that the Spirit of God hovers over the chaos and brings order out of the chaos, to bring the imagery of Genesis chapter 1 into this conversation. God brings order out of chaos. Everything has its purpose. God is always at work in and through everything that is happening. And so, yes, you can release what is happening in the world into God's hands. And you can be at rest with God. You can rest your soul with God. You can rest your mind in the presence of God. And by doing that, you actually become 100 times more effective at bringing about change, because now you're not trying to change anything. I know that sounds paradoxical, but when you don't have a need to be right anymore, when you don't have anything to prove anymore, when you don't have anything to defend anymore, when your only intention is love, transformation begins to happen all on its own. So Jesus, to his disciples, said these words to them in the Gospel of Matthew. He said, "I am sending you out like sheep among wolves." Very interesting words. I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. We live in a world filled with wolves. Okay, the wolf mentality is the win at all cost mentality. It's the dog eat dog mentality. It's the survival of the fittest mentality. Jesus says, in a world of wolves, I am calling you to be a sheep. How's that for our really manly men? Be a sheep in a world of wolves. What's the difference between wolves and sheep. Well, sheep have a shepherd. And so they have nothing to, they have no need to protect themselves and to watch over themselves, because somebody else is doing that for them. Be like sheep among wolves. Trust your life into the hands of God. The message is so simple. And then Jesus says to his disciples, be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. I like to think of that as being open-minded and being pure-hearted. To be open-minded is to be wise, because now you're able to see all possibilities, and you recognize that you don't have all the answers, and so you are slow to speak and you're quick to listen, and you show empathy to others because you're not invalidating other people's experiences. You're curious about their experiences. And so that changes the way that you relate to them. See, when we're closed-minded, when we're narrow-minded, that means that in that moment, we have identified ourselves with a particular belief, a political belief, a religious belief, whatever it is. We have attached ourselves to a particular belief, a particular story, a particular judgment. And so when that story, belief, or judgment gets attacked, we take it personal, and then we attack in return. And that's the cycle that human beings have been stuck in, which is why the scriptures also teach the way to overcome evil is by overcoming evil with good. Another paradox. And then Jesus says to be as innocent as doves, to have pure intention. When your heart is pure, you see the purity in other people. You see the innocence in other people. See, everybody believes what they believe for a particular reason. That reason may not be right to us. That reason may not justify this person's beliefs or actions, but it can help you to be more understanding, so that now you can build a bridge of love and trust with another human being, because you don't pass on what you're teaching. You don't ever pass on to others what you're trying to say with your words. You pass on what you are in your essence. So we can try and convince other people of our rightness and their wrongness all we want. But if we really want to see transformation at an inner level, that can only happen when people brush up against us and it rubs off. Our love just rubs off on them. That's how it works. Other people pick up on your calm, peaceful spirit, and it's intriguing to them. It's something that is desirable to them. And so the way that they see things now begins to shift and to change. This is how God is calling us to be in the world. There's this story I want to wrap up with about a king and a hermit. This old hermit, a very wise man, had very little possessions. And one day the hermit was brought before the king. And the king said to the hermit, "Wow, I am so impressed by you." He says, "You are content with so little. You are content with so much less than I am." And the hermit responded to the king by saying, "King, I actually envy you, because you're content with even less than I have." And at that point, the king got offended. And he looked at the hermit and he said, "Wait a second, what are you talking about? What are you trying to say? How do I have less than you? Don't you see this entire kingdom is mine? It belongs to me." And the hermit said, "That's exactly my point. See, I have the rivers and the mountains of the whole world. I have the sun and the moon and the stars. I have everything in this world because I have God in my soul. You, on the other hand, O king, you only have this kingdom." I love that this hermit is able to say with full integrity that he has everything because he has God in his soul. When you have God in your soul, when you've awakened to the presence of God within you, which is only found in the stillness, in the quiet. It's not found in the arguments. It's not found in trying to be right. When you come to that place of stillness and you find that presence of God within yourself, God becomes everything to you. God is enough for you at that point. You're simply content with your life because you have found the one treasure that is more valuable than anything else. This is why Jesus referred to the kingdom of heaven as a treasure. He speaks in parables about this. One of those parables, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who goes to a field and he finds a treasure there. And then he goes back home and he sells everything that he has so he can buy that entire field just so that he can have that one treasure that's there, because that treasure is everything to this person. That treasure is the kingdom of God. See, you and I, we're not witnesses to a political party. We're not witnesses to a religious group. We are not witnesses to a particular form of ideology. We are witnesses to the kingdom of God. We are witnesses to the presence of God within our soul. This is the treasure that we have found that is worth more than anything in this world. And we tell people all about it. This joy, this peace, this hope that we have found by a childlike faith, by simply living our lives in complete and total dependence on God, releasing our need to control life and saying, God, I'm putting not just my life, but all life into your hands, which is where life has always been, by the way. And so God is our refuge. God is the one that we come to over and over again in these moments when everything around us is chaotic. We get quiet. We get still. We open up our hearts. We root ourselves and ground ourselves in the presence of God. And as we do that, we become fearless. As we do that, we're willing to experience anything, because we know that in everything, God is with us. And through everything, God is bringing about good. So that's my hope and that's my prayer for you today, that you would discover this treasure within your soul, that you would recognize the importance of letting go of everything so that you can only possess God, so that you can only desire God. What else are we here for? I read a quote today by one of the church fathers that says, the entire mystery can be encapsulated by this: dying to the world and coming alive to God. Let's die to this world. Let's come alive to God, and let's allow this love that bubbles up from deep within us to simply pour out of us into this world everywhere we go. God, thank you so much for your love. Thank you, God, for guiding us every step of the way. We entrust ourselves to you. God, we release the world and all of the chaos that we see in it into your hands. God, help us to find peace within ourselves, because the only way that we can truly overcome the world is by overcoming ourself, our false sense of self, and discovering who we truly are in you. And as we flower into the kind of human beings that you have designed us to be, image bearers of God, children of God, people of love, we know, God, that transformation will begin to radiate from us. Joy will begin to radiate from us, and it'll make all the difference in the world. If all of us can simply commit to experiencing this kind of shift and transformation within ourselves, we know, God, this world will become such a better place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.